Yeah.
Good morning. I'm doing good, buddy. Beautiful day out here.
You know, on your way to Springfield, and you know, the, you know what's interesting is more and more I read about this, and sometimes I don't know if just stuff gets echoed. You know that Cullerton and Redonio have been. A matter of fact, one of the news stories said it'd be news if they weren't talking. They were. They're always talking, and apparently, they've been working. Frustrated with Madigan and Rauner's inability to talk together, and so the Senate's working on a budget.
Yeah, Senate's been working on. We had a budget. We've really had a budget for the last 2 years, and just couldn't get everybody on board. So now, then, I think the Republicans in the Senate are talking about it pretty heavy. So I'm not. I'm pretty sure that we could pass it out of Senate, but I don't know what the governor's going to do and Madigan's going to do after that.
Right, and so number one on the pile, according to multiple published reports, that there would be an increase in the personal income tax in Illinois from 3.75% to 4.95%.
Yeah, the governor's been saying for the last 2 years he'd be for an income tax, but he said it had to be under 5.
Right, so 4.95, cutting it in there. So you've got an income tax increase, a broadening of the sales tax, and services that are currently exempt, a tax on sweetened beverages, closing some corporate exemptions, eliminating the corporate franchise tax, increase in the earned income tax credit for low-income individuals, and a 2-year freeze on all local property taxes. This is the stuff that's been leaked out to the media so far. As we said, when I was on the phone before we went on the air, that one of the stories said the reason why they felt so encouraged about the Senate and the ability to move this, they intend to move it, was because they'd kept it so secret.
Well, that could be true, but I think we've had the votes all the time the last 2 years. But why should we vote on something if the governor's going to veto it and Madigan's not going to okay it?
Right. So, Gary, do you think they'll vote on this in the next 2 days in the Senate?
I think we're going to talk about it, Tom. It looks pretty good. I think the Senate people are just upset the way things are going. And they're just ready to do something. They know people don't like taxes, but they're just ready to do something. They know this is more harm where we're going now than go ahead and vote on a budget.
One of the items that does have an Illinois caveat is that according to these Senate negotiations and the information that's been leaked, that they say add 5 new casinos statewide. And, of course, Walker's Bluff is the issue here when it comes to Southern Illinois. One would be confirmed Chicago, one. And then the revenue would be split between the city and the state on these. The other casinos, they say, slotted for Danville, Lake County, and Rockford. That still leaves one for Walker's Bluff.
Yeah, they're still in there so far. I haven't seen that yet, but I do think you'll see, if we get a budget, you'll see a gambling bill. We got to have some kind of we got to have more revenue than what we're doing. You know, 2 years ago, we only owed $3 billion. Now then, we owe $12 billion. So you just got to come out with a lot more money in the last 2 years. I mean, it's the way it is.
One of the items that's also supposedly is the elimination of pensions for future state legislators.
Yeah, and I think that is, and I think you'll see some kind of maybe in there that hasn't negotiated yet, maybe some kind of term limits, probably for the leaders.
Yeah, they put forth a concept here that state employees a choice between accepting reductions of cost of living raises in retirement in exchange for higher future pensionable salaries. So we see different stuff in here, and they say that this pension plan would apply to the Chicago Teachers Pension Fund, and then you've got AFSCME workers are likely to be exempt from the bill while contract negotiations with the state are ongoing and under legal scrutiny, so they would not be included right now. And $215 million in state money, would go to the Chicago Public Schools to cover a portion of the teachers' pensions costs. And then, of course, you've got the governor's turnaround agenda. Two-term limits on a senator, 2-year property tax freeze, local government consolidation, mandate relief for schools, including PE and driver's ed, and changes in law that would lead to reductions in business workers' compensation costs. So the governor's desires in this standoff are also addressed in this Senate negotiation.
Yes, there's a lot in there, Tom. I don't know if you can negotiate that because nobody's really seen the writing yet. that's what we got to go over. We're going in today at 11 o'clock and probably discuss that and try to come up with something. But there's a lot of stuff there.
There is. There's a lot of stuff. But after 2 years, you'd expect there to be, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the longer it goes, Tom, the worse it's going to get.
And you know, we're getting a good taste of that now because, Gary, you've seen it too, people leaving. I think if there's one definitive statement about Illinois government is that people would rather move away than deal with it. If that doesn't clear up the air about how people feel about Illinois government, I don't know what does.
And, Tom, you know, any kind of a business person, whoever you are, how can you do business, save Illinois without a budget? How can SIU keep on going without a budget? They can't keep on going. People can't start a business. I mean, we're getting kids leaving all the time because they don't know if SIU is going to have a budget or not. So they're going to another state. And the budget is just unbelievable what it's going to do. And I've been saying for a long time it's going to be a domino effect, and people ain't getting it. Now then, the dominoes are starting to fall, and they're getting it now, I think.
Everything is connected in one way or another.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and it's going to get everybody. It's not just one person. Some people say, well, it's going to get the unions. No, it's going to get everybody.
Gary, do you feel a bit more free after the November election outcome? When it comes to talking about this stuff, do you feel that there's been a certain weight lifted off your shoulder? Do you think maybe you won't feel that until Wednesday?
No, I'm already feeling it right now, Tom.
Yeah.
It is a long way. You know, a lot of people say that, you know, you guys don't do much work, but you put a lot more time in, and a lot of people realize it.
Yeah, because there's this constant negotiation going on a myriad of things. It's not just the budget.
Yeah.
I mean, I was talking to Gary last week, it's not just the budget. There are other things. I mean, you take a look at this year's laws. A lot of people are saying, well, we got all the problems solved in the world if we're dictating on whether you can harvest catfish with a pitchfork. But let's take a look at Senator. If I remember correctly, your first piece of legislation when you were a member of the House, so this would have been back in 2001?
One.
Yeah. Your first piece of legislation as a freshman member of the House of Representatives was to extend the length of the deer season, I believe.
Yeah, we did that. I'm kind of proud of what I've done, Tom. There's a lot back in there, and maybe a lot of people don't know it, but there was some stuff. You know, my deal was my 13 counties, and that's what I looked after.
Right. And during some – see, what's interesting is since you and I met when you were running for the House of Representatives, and a mutual friend of ours introduced us while you were out walking and knocking on doors. And of course, ever since then, and I can remember, you know, and as you can remember when Illinois was still functioning. I remember you getting some money. I think it was for some police cars at a police department around here. And then you wanted to do the same thing the next year and couldn't because the money wasn't there and it never came back. I kind of remember that from a conversation you and I had, that you were there when things have changed. And then changed again. Blagojevich changed things, and then what happened because of Blagojevich, it really changed. And then you go into the money situation in 2008. You've always been in the middle of a lot of pressure here when it comes to Illinois and its problems.
That's right, Tom. You know, when you go to Springfield, you got to take care of your district the best way you can. One of the things I'd done was I tried to bring a lot of money back home. You know, and people say, that's a lot of wasteful money. But you know what? I tell the people, this is your tax money. You paid it in. So I think I'm going to bring every dime I can back home. You know, one thing we've done was the first year or a couple of years, we passed the first coal bill. Has been any coal bill passed in 20 years. We passed a $1.3 billion coal bill. And then coal seemed like it started going since then.
This is one of the items that was intrinsic to your neighborhood. Whenever you are in Franklin, Hamilton, Williamson, Saline, Gallatin, Hardin, Pope, Massac, Johnson, Union, Pulaski, Alexander, coal has to be on the repertoire.
Yep, coal and, you know, guns. Guns are the big thing. Got the conceal and carry. We've been 20 years trying to get conceal and carry. Got it done. You know, there's just a lot of stuff. And the six-lane roads, a lot of infrastructure. I think probably I've done as much infrastructure work as anything.
Is that what you're most proud of is during your time in the Senate?
Yeah, I'm probably that. And, you know, I got 35 million dollars for Sparta Shooting Range.
Right.
You know, it's not my district, but it's Southern Illinois. But that's Southern Illinois' tax money. That money would have went to Chicago if it hadn't came down here.
Do you think people, I mean, realize that you're a member of the House and then off the Senate when Willard was, well, I think Larry retired, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, you've been really kind of, I mean, I can, I it's a short list of people who were in the House and the Senate, both.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing that I always like to talk about, too, is the ballpark in Marion.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was kind of against that. And I just stayed on it for 2 to 3 years and finally got it done. And it's turned out to be a good thing.
But these last 2 years have been unlike anything else, haven't they?
Yes, they have. If you don't have a budget, Tom, you can't do nothing. There's no way you can bring any money home. No way you can create jobs. And losing our kids going to school, and our senior citizens are not getting paid, our nursing homes not getting paid. That's, you know, I wasn't brought up that way. You owe the bill, you paid it.
But what happens now in Illinois? Because, and for all intents and purposes, if there was one consistent theme when I was doing homework for talking to you about the Senate budget and some of the items that were included in it, it was the Senate felt they had to do this. Redonio and Cullerton had to get together and do something because the relationship between Madigan and Rauner wouldn't allow anything to get done. So they were jumping in to do something about it, to take the initiative. I've always thought that somebody at some point would say, well, look, I'll do it. I'll come up with a budget. I'll be a hero. But with the money situation, there's no way you're going to be a hero if you're the one that comes up with a budget that deals with these kind of money problems. Something's going to have to get cut.
Yeah, Tom, I think we've done that in 09, too. The Senate would run a budget. So I got caught up in the middle of voting on a tax, but we couldn't get negotiation done. So we're doing similar to what the Senate's doing today is. So we're negotiating a budget. We're putting it out there, and we're going to vote on something. The same almost happened in 09, but when we've done that, we've got people working at it then.
Gary, I don't think this will be the last time you and I speak on the air, but as senator, there's an outstanding possibility this will be the last time that people hear from you as their sitting senator. I have literally spoke at the very least, the bare minimum, every month for around 14 or 15 years. Well, over 15 years now. You know, I was lucky to get a chance. And during the time that your level of frankness on more than one occasion startled me. If you listen closely to what you're saying, I mean, you were really stark and forthright on a number of really touchy subjects. What would you have people know about the time that you spent in the House, in the Senate? For people who listen to you here literally every month, what would you have them know about the time that you spent in Springfield?
Well, what I've done best in Springfield, Tom, what I've learned is an old saying, like we got back home, you got to be a horse trader. And there's a lot of people in Springfield and I think Chicago don't know how to horse trade. And I think that's what I've done a lot. I think that's why when I brought something home, I think I had to trade off or go in there and do some trading so I could get something at home. And our problem is down home, we only got 35% of the legislators from I-80 South. 65% of the legislators all north there. And if you don't get them people to work with you, help get you a vote every now and then, you can't bring nothing home. So I think my negotiation and being in business for 30-some-odd years was what helped me in Springfield.
I was reading a book the other night, and the quote from the character was, "We start compromising in our lives the minute we're born." And what you're talking about here is the ability to see the other guy's point, to give a little, to take a little constantly. Is that the art that has been lost in Springfield?
Yeah, and that's what in our caucus time, we'll go to talk to the budget. And this happened several years in a row, and I got people from Chicago that sit up and they'll say, "Well, we've got a budget." He said, "Well, what does Forby want out of this?"
Right.
He got something out of it. But, you know, that's sort of the compromising and trading off where you can, you know, do the best you can.
You got to ask because it's when you said that, I mean, how many times I've seen, "Well, we'll do this, this, and this." And I'm saying, "Okay, well, what do you want? What's in it for you?" It's an exchange at its very nature. There was one point, you know, that during that and I want to state this as a matter of just fact, that there were overtime paychecks paid to legislators, and this is back during the Blagojevich administration. And Senator Forby said, here's my check for overtime, Tom. You go cash this, and you give this to people who can help, who it can help. Had a hell of a time getting it cashed down at the Bank of Carterville, by the way. they knew I wasn't you. So I went out, and I went and did some homework, and I found children, actually, and went out and helped them with this money. And I can tell you, Senator, that you're the only senator, member of the House, politician, period, that's looked at me and said, look, I don't deserve this. I don't think this is right. I want this to go somebody it can help. They're going to put it in my account anyway. There's no saying no. Here's a check. The only one to ever do that. And I want to make sure people know that, because I there's little things that tell people who you are, and that's one of them in my mind.
Well, I didn't take this job for the money, Tom. I was pretty well semi-retired back when I took this job, so I didn't take it for a job. And just as of now, Tom, I haven't been paid in 7 months. And I haven't said nothing to nobody, and I haven't asked for it, but you know, I just think we got to have a budget, and we need to start paying people. I think bills need to be paid.
Senator Gary Forby, nice way, I think, to conclude today. And good luck these last 2 days, okay? Best of luck, Gary.
You bet, Tom. I just hope we can get something done.